Here we are this week, my friends, talking about our new theme, I Believe, But I Can't Get Over My Abuse. This is not asking the question, why did God let it happen? Where was he when it happened? But rather, okay, I've accepted that God was there and that he loved me anyway, but how do I get through the various aspects of my woundedness that still plague me while I'm trying to be a godly Christian and to be a man or woman who is doing something useful in the world? This is Colin Cook, my friends, and you're listening to How It Happens, a broadcast on good news, how the good news affects our life, how Jesus, our Savior, enters into our woundedness, enables us to walk with him in it and through it and out into the open air and the sunlight. Listen in. So, friends, if the message that Jesus has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows is the starting point for getting over our abuse, what's the continuing line? How do we go on from there? We know that Jesus has taken the burden of our sorrows. That means the grief of it, the pain of it, the guilt of it, the shame of it, the sorrow of it, and he has lifted us by carrying that burden. We now know we're not carrying it alone. We're not even carrying the major portion of it. We are yoked to Jesus, and therefore the whole walking through life is lighter because of him. So what's the continuing line? The continuing line we walk on, my friends, is this. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, by which we cry out, Abba Father, Daddy Father. You are now, my friend, no longer under the bondage of your human nature. Your human nature, you see, and all that human nature was damaged with through the abuser, that human nature is no longer counted as yours. It's a form of death. Human nature is all of life, is a form of death, because the whole human nature, the whole of creation is under the power of death. But as we put our faith in Christ, we are introduced into a new kingdom in which there is no power of death in our spirit. Yes, upon our flesh there is, but in our spirit. Remember that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Christ from the power of death, has brought to us his resurrection that we receive by faith in our spirit, so that the Spirit is giving us life. And so he says here again, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again. You've been under the spirit of bondage. Abuse is a form of bondage. It is a slavery, mentally or physically, sexually or whatever form. It is a slavery. Now you are freed from that bondage. God the Father, through his Son, has been like a Moses who has delivered you from slavery. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Do you see that abuse by your abuser has created in you fear? Fear to be yourself, fear to think for yourself, fear to make decisions for yourself, fear that you have lost your sense of self. But you have been released from that, and you have received the spirit of adoption. Our Father has adopted you. It's time to speak into your mind, Dear God, I praise you that I'm adopted into a new family, that I now belong to the King, that I belong in your home, dear Father, and that I am in that kingdom, that new home, a son or a daughter, and I can cry out, Daddy Father. Now, perhaps your earthly father was an abuser, and it's hard for you to connect with the idea of a father. But this father, my friend, is not an abuser. You can call him Daddy. Now, of course, all this abuse led you to tiptoeing around through life. Perhaps you're always apologizing because you never feel that a single opinion of yours is valid because it was stolen from you. Your capacity to have an opinion or make a decision was stolen by your abuser. Perhaps you feel shy and fearful and not bold. Perhaps you're afraid of making decisions, unsure of the decisions you have made, and nervous about expressing an opinion. Perhaps you're a yes man or a yes woman, never making waves. You don't want to make waves. You're afraid of expressing your boundaries. All this abuse has taken away your feeling that you have a space that's your own, or a place even that's your own, or even a single room that's your own. There is no privacy. Your boundaries were taken away when people intruded in your room in the night or in the day. Doors were not allowed to be locked. You had no privacy. Perhaps you've confused privacy for secrecy. You feel that if I'm being private, I'm being secret and therefore secretive and deceptive. And so you haven't learned the difference between having a private life versus having a secretive, deceptive life. Perhaps you get upset easily or irritated or angry when people presume upon you or use you or take you for granted because you haven't ever been able to say no, you see, to anything. You're always saying yes to everything. You're always pleasing everybody. And they don't know your limits, and so they take advantage of your capacity and your largeness of spirit. But they don't realize that you're really being kind and gracious and big because you can't say no, because you never were trained to say no. So you become an endless do-gooder at church, but with a slight edge of irritability, because you know that the church can always call on you when no one else is around. Oh, yes, oh, brother so-and-so, or sister so-and-so, they're always available. But they don't realize why, and you haven't yet the courage to tell them. You're probably endlessly obsessive about rules, being careful, always to please, very religiously exacting, and judgmental of others. Ironically, I mean, you'd think that you've had enough judgment in your own life, you wouldn't want to impose it upon someone else. But you see, you're unnerved by somebody else's easy passage through life. It makes you feel uncomfortable. What's wrong with me if they can be so easy? Maybe you're judgmental of others because you project on others the very judgment you feel about yourself. And maybe you try to redo your own woundedness, try to live life again without the woundedness by making sure that your children don't fall into the same thing. So you anxiously help them to avoid what you went through by controlling almost their every thought and their every action. And inadvertently, you're making them victims in the same way that you were a victim. And thus, the abused becomes the abuser. Now, my friends, these are some of the results of abuse. It's not your fault. Don't take guilt upon for this. You're a wounded person, and as a result of not having worked it through yet, you're inflicting that wound perhaps on other people. The first thing is that Christ has borne it all for you. The second thing is that you have been adopted into a new family. No longer do you have the bondage of fear. You can say, yeah, but I am afraid, Colin. I am scared of all this. Yes, I know. But your human nature is afraid. But in Christ, your spirit is free. You say, Father in heaven, though my human nature still feels under bondage, I praise you that my spirit is free from the bondage of fear, that I have now a new family. I'm adopted into you, dear Father, and your Son, and I can speak to you and say, Abba, Father, I am a child of God. Thank you, Daddy. Now, of course, you want to work through these issues. But, my friends, don't confuse, I want to change my personality with, I want to grow out of my woundedness. Some people, when they experience all of this abuse and realize how much it's damaged their personality, they want to become different people. They want to change their whole personality. They suppress themselves and they become very artificial. No. First of all, give thanks to God. Father, I thank you for who I am even in my flesh. In my spirit, I know that I am your righteous child, counted as whole and complete in Jesus. In my flesh, I know I'm wounded, but I will not try to kill that person that I am even in my flesh. I will count it as dead, but I will not be so desperate to run away from it that I will develop an artificial personality. So then what does one do, my friend? What one does is to grow in that personality, to mature in that personality, rather than try to deny it and to stamp it out. Yes, you can say, I know I'm always tiptoeing around. I know I'm always apologizing for everything. I know I'm afraid of making decisions and unsure of the decisions I've already made. I know I'm scared of expressing my boundaries. I know I easily get upset and irritated when people take advantage of me. I know I'm obsessed by rules. I know I'm religiously exacting. I know I'm judgmental of others. I know that I'm turning my own kids into victims too, but I will not hate myself. I will not try to destroy my personality. I will grow and not wipe out. You see, my friends, this line that we continue on in our growing experience in life, now that we are adopted into the resurrected life of Jesus Christ, adopted as sons and daughters who can cry out, Daddy, Father, no longer in the spirit of bondage, when we know that, we can say this, I am persuaded that neither death, the deathly things that have happened to me, nor life, the abusive life I've known as a child, nor angels, nor principalities, all the forces of Satan working against you, nor powers, nor the powers of this abuse, you see, and my controlling abuser, nor things present, if it's still happening, nor things to come, nor things in the past, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from and me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This means, my friend, that nothing that was against you is against you anymore. You can actually make use of all of this woundedness to grow. You don't stuff it. You don't deny it. You don't wish that it had never happened. You use it. You use it by faith. And that is the great secret of the growing Christian. Friends, we're only in the middle of September, but I'm looking ahead to October and the finances, and I'm hoping that you will help me as the week draws on and towards the end of the month to prepare for next month's radio bill. I don't see the funds in there yet for it, and I don't see the funds sort of ahead of me for it. Now, I don't worry. By God's grace, I know that he will take care of this broadcast as he has through all of the years. But he takes care of it through you, my friends. The broadcast costs approximately $850 per month. So if you would like to take care of or actually underwrite a broadcast, then you can call me if you like at 303-738-8694. Or you can make that donation by PayPal. You can go to PayPal at faithquestradio.com, our website, and make the PayPal donation there, faithquestradio.com. Or you can make that donation by check to FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. That's Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. Perhaps you can't do the whole thing. Maybe half of it, 425. Or maybe four of you could take care of it at about 210 each or something. I look forward to hearing from you then, friends. Thanks again, and cheerio, and God bless.